episode 4 of Get Her in the Game, a pitch podcast. My name is Dee Dee, and I go by Dust Daughter on Twitter.
My name's Olivia, and I go by Sportifica.
And we're here to recap episode 4 of Pitch called The Break. We were looking forward to half-naked hijinks, and we did not get them this episode. I must have forgotten those hijinks occur.
It's nice to have something to look forward to.
Definitely, definitely. Hopefully we won't be looking forward for long. Mm-hmm. But this is still a great episode, and I'm just realizing, because I do my own recaps of every episode as I rewatch, and I'm just, there's a lot in every episode. I'm wondering, do most shows have this much stuff going on in them? Because I feel like my fingers are about to fall off trying to catch every little nuance of what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know how you do this, because you have to pay such close attention to what's happening. And I can't imagine doing that and also writing everything down.
Maybe I should just, you know, crib from other people's recaps that are already written. But, there's just a lot going on in every episode. So kudos to the writers. They packed a lot in the 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. We really got to know just about everybody on the show.
And it was really cool to see all of these different dramatic points that had, you know, heart to them. It wasn't just a shock of the week type thing or a cliffhanger for no reason. You know, it feels everything that happens makes sense. I don't always like what happens. I know we aren't big fans of Mike and Amelia. Mm. But for the most part, you know, these twists, they don't feel cheap.
Yep. Speaking of cheap twists, shout out to D.B. Weiss and Dan Finioff. Anyway, never mind. That's a tangent. But they would know something about cheap twists. And stuff that doesn't make sense. So,
we can't go 5 minutes without.
Oh, screw them. Anyway, you can, if you have any comments about Pitch or any other show that, dismiss and disrespect, you can email us at blackgirlsqueeze@gmail.com. There's also a Patreon patreon.com/blackgirlsqueeze if you want to donate and help us continue making great shows on this network.
Yes, and you get some access to exclusive content. I listened to the first part of The Clause podcast. If you're a patron of Black Girl Squee, you get to listen to that. It was a lot of fun. You guys are hilarious.
Hopefully in the we'll stop. we'll learn everybody's names on there, just instead of just the folks that we like.
Well, it's they're not the main characters, so
yeah, but and it was being petty. And I was supporting it, so I'm just as bad. So, but you can judge for yourself. If you decide to become a patron of Black Girl Squee on Patreon, and we hope you do. So with that, we will quit the Game of Thrones slander for now. We'll put a pin in it. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, I really can't talk. I've never watched an episode. And I feel more grateful for that every day.
So, You're so lucky. You're so, oh gosh. Okay. You're just this whole cloud of frustration that is missing from your life. Just count yourself grateful. Just be grateful.
On to
Reason.
pitch.
Pitch. The
How
reason
about
why
them nectarines?
we're here. Yes. How about them Scroogies? So this episode is called The Break. It is directed by Regina King,
The Regina King.
Emmy winner, heavy hitter in the industry, and written by Rick Singer. The show opens at MLB headquarters, where everyone's watching a campaign to put Jenny in the All-Star game. The campaign has dominated social media and has forced MLB to make a decision about whether to put her in the game.
Kind of parallels our efforts after the first season. They had the hashtag put her in the game, and many of us use the hashtag get her in the game to pick up pitch.
Yep.
And I thought it was astounding that 36 million different people signed a petition to put Ginny in the All-Star game. Ginny for president. I mean,
Yay.
36 million people.
Million. Yes. Yeah, that's overwhelming. So, definitely a testament to her popularity and to all the people out there that are rooting for her despite all the talking heads and naysayers in the media.
Yep.
So next we see Mike and Amelia. Mike is struggling to put his clothes back on after another night with Amelia. And that was kind of Yeah, that was hard to watch because he really was
Yeah,
struggling to
that's
put his pants
serious.
on.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mark Paul Gosselaar's rear end, though. If we're gonna be shallow, let's just go all in. Let's lean into it.
Everything that was on display, shout out to
To
all
all of
of
it.
that.
Good job. But Amelia's worried that maybe she should have taken it easy on him in bed, and I'm like, Amelia, just I don't need to know about all of that. Just keep that to yourself. But he says his back is just acting up, and it's no big deal. He's always downplaying any of his injuries. But Amelia thinks that he should skip the All-Star game and get some rest. And Mike refuses because it's being hosted in San Diego, and he says he's practically the mayor here. He's got to go.
Yeah, and this would have been an interesting point in the future of the show as well to talk about or to just highlight Mike's chronic pain and
Right.
how that affects him. And it's something that I don't think people realize athletes probably deal with all the time, and how it can have, an emotional and psychological toll as well. I mean, he downplays it, but it would have been interesting in the future to see that explored a bit more.
Yeah. I mean, even after athletes retire, they still have to deal with all of the miles they logged as a player.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that can definitely, and he's already grumpy. So just imagine what a few more years of baseball will do to him psychologically and personality-wise. So.
That's got to be hard in the back to be a catcher, like just squatted like that for hours.
So Amelia says that she can get him a job as an analyst on the post-game show. Mike says that he's considered a second career in broadcasting, as it's all part of the Mike Lawson experience. And that includes one, being a Hall of Fame player. He's got that down. to becoming a Hall of Fame broadcaster. Still working on that. Mm-hmm. 3, going to the south of France and becoming the greatest horseshoe player ever known.
I have full faith in that part of the plan.
Okay. Yep. You're supported here. But he's talking about his plans to be a horseshoe player in the south of France when another bolt of plant pain shoots through his back. And suddenly, a few days off don't sound so bad. He tells Amelia to set up a meeting, but of course, she already has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know. She's obviously allowed to have other clients than Jenny, but it just felt kind of sneaky. I don't know.
Set that up. Also, Mike might already have an agent. He's already got his own lawyer. He's been in the game for how many years? Surely he has his own agent, manager, what have you.
Right.
So for her to just do that without any permission or anything like that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Amelia. She thinks she knows best all the time.
Very much in a sports agent personality. That's what she's becoming, a sports agent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then we go to Jenny, who's over at the Sanders house, and she's trying to kind of guilt trip Evelyn into staying instead of going on a family trip to Disney World because Jenny's mom is coming to visit for the long weekend. But Evelyn won't hear it. She's too happy. She's looking forward to this trip and spend time with her family, because Flip's on the road a lot and they don't really get this chance that often. And Jenny does not want to be alone with her mom for several days. But Evelyn tells her that it couldn't have been that bad between them. But looking at Jenny's relationship with her dad, which was also very complicated, not hard to imagine a similar relationship with her mom. So then we get our first flashback of the episode where Jenny and her mom, Janet, are in the kitchen, kind of cutely conspiring together to go shopping and, try to do it, or to get Jenny's ears pierced, and trying to do it without Bill noticing. So they just say that they're going to the mall, and Bill doesn't even look away from the TV and tells Jenny that she needs to get some tanner's oil for her mitt. And they're just like, yep, got it, okay. And then they just rush out the door giggling. So it's really sweet. And you're starting to wonder where to go wrong.
Yeah.
And we will see where.
But they were, that was really cute. Yeah. It was like, okay, the only way this is going to work is if you don't make me laugh. So don't look at me. Don't say anything. Let's just go.
Really sweet.
Yeah.
Back in the present, Jenny and Evelyn are bringing luggage, out to the car as Blip's finishing a phone call. Mike called to tell Blip that he's skipping the All-Star game and that the MLB might be calling Blip to serve as an alternate, because the Padres need a representative in the All-Star game because they're hosting it in San Diego.
Right. And the twins come in, Evelyn tells them the good news. And she does a good job of hiding her disappointment in order to support Blip. Remember that. Because, she's obviously been looking forward to this for a long time. And, she forgets that in a moment too, because, Blip is really happy about this. The kids ask about Disney World, and Blip says that might have to wait. Then
spoke too soon.
Exactly. Jenny gets a call from the front office as the kids and Blip and Evelyn are celebrating. She's been named to the All-Star team. She's going to be the Padres rep, not Blip. So it looks like the Sanders are going to Disney World.
Yay! So of course, Jenny feels awkward and guilty because every step in her career has some sort of catch to it. Like, Everything. Even more so than anyone else.
Yeah, and then nothing happens at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the worst timing for her. At the clubhouse, we have Colin Cowherd, Jason Lucklock. Ooh, I hate him. are arguing about, I hate both of them. at the clubhouse, I had worse names for them in the show notes.
Colorful.
Yes. But they're arguing about whether or not Jenny's an all-star. And this is the first time. And you know this was scripted because this is the first time that Jason Whitlock has ever supported a Black woman athlete. Anyway, the Jenny walks over to Blip to apologize. But Blip says she's not having this conversation again. She's going to play in the All-Star game. And he's going to ride in some teacups with his family. But it looks like neither Mama or Papa Sanders do roller coasters. So I don't know what the kids are going to do if they want to ride Space Mountain.
There. I'll take them. They're so cute. I'll take them.
Yay! They were like, it was like all kinds of yays in the last scene. Yay! Yay, you're going to the Oscar game. Yay!
We're going to Disney World.
Yay! Okay. So Oscar asks Rhonda to book him a flight to Amsterdam. He's just gotten off the phone with someone and gotten some important news. Rhonda says that he can't leave because his team is hosting the All-Star game. Duh. Oscar just says that LeVon is 26 and none of the other GMs can know where he's going or what he's doing. He rushes out of the office and says he'll call her at the airport. And Rhonda's just standing there like, what?
Jeez. Bad timing for everyone in this episode.
Yeah.
So Jenny goes to Al to tell him that she doesn't deserve to be in the All-Star game. And it's terrible timing, like we've been talking about. And she just wants to be a team player. And, you know, she's getting on good terms with her teammates. And so she feels like this could just distance them again. And Al agrees with her, but then he tells her the story of how he met his wife for the first time and she went on a pity date with him because he was an injured veteran. But then that one pity date turned into 42 years of marriage, 4 kids, and 12 grandchildren. So it doesn't matter why they said yes or why an opportunity comes to you. It matters what you do after it, he tells her. Not so sure I always agree with that, but yeah, Jenny's got to make the most of it. You know, she can't, it would just make things worse, I think, if she tried to refuse to play in the game or, you know, turn it down. So he's right there. Then we're in Jenny's hotel room. I can't believe she still lives in the hotel room, but maybe not that many days have passed since the first episode. I'm not sure. She and Amelia are going over the All-Star game schedule, but Jenny doesn't want to do that because she's not looking forward to it. And she's not looking forward to telling her mom that their 3-day weekend together, you know, has been kind of disrupted by the All-Star game. And that's when Janet walks in a few moments later, really excited. Yep. And Ginny, you know, struggles to tell her the news that she'll be in the All-Star game. And Janet is happy for her, but then, you know, she realizes that Ginny won't have a lot of time for her, so she's organized for Elliot to show her around while she does promotional press stuff, and then they'll have dinner together. Then Janet gets kind of passive-aggressive and says that she's looking forward to spending the day with Elliot, and he thinks she's serious.
Oh, Elliot. Oh,
poor thing. I'm not sure why, you know, Ginny's mom couldn't have spent the day with her somewhat. I know that Ginny would be really busy and maybe it would be too stressful to worry about if her mom was happy or not, but maybe they could have tried. But either way, it just kind of sucked to see that, you know, Ginny already feels awful about everything because Blip's not in the All-Star game and she is, and she has this strained relationship with her mom and it's even more awkward now. And nobody's given her a break.
Right.
And then we see Mike talking to his lawyer about his divorce settlement, and his ex is getting half of everything, and the lawyer tells him that he should have listened to him and signed a prenup. Mike says he's got 2 good earning years left. He thinks maybe he could go to Boston or the Yankees or Texas where there's no state tax. But Mike wants to remain at Padre. The lawyer doesn't see it that way and says he needs to think about what he's going to do after baseball. And Mike tells him about his face too. But also it was interesting to hear that Mike owns dealerships, and I'm sure that with all that money he has a lot of like commitments and expenses. But man, if he's a franchise player towards the end of his career and he also owns several dealerships that can be split among 2 people, I don't know, what is he worried about?
I don't know.
I mean, all that, I don't know. I mean,
does he own them outright, or is it sort of like Ginny's brother, you know, yeah, wanting to capitalize and build some businesses off of her brand?
Right. Yeah, well, I've never had that much money to worry about, so.
No, but still.
I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, but still, you got married in California, dude. You knew. I mean, you got to think about that. You got to think about where you get married and what the divorce laws are, sadly.
Yeah.
In each state, so. Mike is next implementing phase 2 at the Fox Sports News studios. And they're doing a run through of the post game show that they'll film tomorrow, the next day. But the hosts think that Mike sounds too much like a stat head and not like a baseball player. They want Mike to appeal to the average fan.
It was funny to hear him say redonkulous. I love how they're all like trying to placate him, and then the one guy's just like, you were unintelligible.
Oh my God. I mean, and you, this just made, if Mike is getting it, the feedback this bad, what does Shaq get on TNT's Inside the NBA? What kind of feedback does he get from the other panelists? But then,
well, I feel like that's exactly what they want Mike to do. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting that they say you sound like a stat head and not a baseball player. Like a baseball player wouldn't know
stats.
Yeah.
Oh my.
That's... So, I mean, Mike, you know, maybe hold back on the Redonkulous, but I would have preferred, and I think a lot of sports fans now, since advanced statistics are more like accessible to the public, people are becoming more interested in that sort of thing. I think fans would be interested to hear some talking heads talk about things other than recycled narratives.
And gossip. And and stuff that they just pulled out of their rear ends.
Toxic masculinity. And all that.
Yeah. All of it. So.
Can you tell, but we don't listen to sports announcers anymore.
Anymore.
Like, I watch games on mute.
Yes. It's the best way. It's mm-hmm. the best way. Because yep. They're really not saying much.
Nope.
So, several GMs are in the skybox at the All-Star Game gossiping about the Padres front office. See? What I love about the show is how petty all the men are on the show.
Yeah.
Like everybody considers women to be petty and over emotional, but yeah, the guys on this show make mountains out of the smallest little molehills of sports crap.
And they're a mess.
Yes, they're so messy. So Rhonda greets a couple of these gossiping GMs and starts making excuses for Oscar. She's really bad at it.
She's cute, though.
She is. She just off the cuff tells this ridiculous, redonkulous story about Oscar having an abscess tooth and how she brought a dentist to the office to deal with it. And she was riffing way too long on that story. And everybody saw right through it. They're like, she's lying, right? Yeah, totally. They immediately figure out this is about LeVon.
I mean, all that really needed to be said was abscess tooth. You could have stopped there. That's like one of those, you need to say food poisoning, everybody's like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I won't ask you more questions about that.
No details needed.
Yeah.
Rhonda didn't know that because she is terrible at lying. So Oscar has just stepped into his hotel in Amsterdam when Rhonda tells him that the jig is up. The story about LeVon Duarte has just broke. Everybody knows that he's 26, not 22. And that this means any team can sign him without being taxed. So Oscar manages to see LeVon's agent shaking hands with the Yankees GM out of the corner of his eye. And, you know, says, damn, basically. He's got some work cut out for him.
Mm-hmm. So back at the All-Star game, Jenny and Mike are in the dugout watching, the home run derby. Mm-hmm. Each batter up hits it further and further out of the park. And Mike is reassuring Jenny the whole time. But then the last guy, he says, maybe don't pitch to that one.
Because he sent it to freaking outer space.
I mean, I don't really know what the big deal is, though. I mean, it's an All-Star game. And just watching the NBA All-Star games, nobody plays defense.
Exactly.
You know, everybody's just happy for each other to score. So yeah. Even if you get scored on, that's what the fans want to see. I don't think they want to see a no-hitter at an All-Star game. At Disney World, Blip is being cute and playing with the kids while Evelyn is figuring out which theme park tickets to get. Kind of risky getting them the night before, but but I guess, you know, they didn't really know until the last minute that they could do this.
Right.
But then Blip gets a call telling him that another player pulled out with a hamstring injury, so he is in the All-Star game after all. And Evelyn congratulates him, but you can tell it's forced, and Blip catches that and thinks that she should be happier for him. And, oh,
this is good.
Hold on a second, because then Blip says, you should be happy for me in the biggest moment of my life. Really? The biggest moment of your life. Mm-hmm. So then Evelyn just lets him have it. And she tells him that she supported him through single A, double A. She recaps every game with him each night, and it's the highlight of her day. She raises their sons and keeps their home while Blip's away. And she's ready to go whenever he's traded. She's aware that, you know, things can change really quickly, and that's, she knows that. She signed up for that. But she's allowed to be disappointed that their family vacation was ruined with that single phone call. And then she walks on out of there, drops the mic. That's all that needs to be said. Amazing moment. Megan Holder is awesome. And this was, I mean, she just steals every scene she's in.
Yep. And the way that she said it so calmly, she never raised her voice.
The kids didn't even know.
Yes. She was like, let me just close this door so the kids hear nothing and calmly tell you exactly where to go, Mr. Sanders. It was so good.
He's Mr. Sanders when he's in trouble.
Basically. The nerve of him. Anyway.
So, a joke that we say in my family, because we saw this bumper sticker once that said, pack your bags, you're going on a guilt trip. Blip's bags were packed. And they were packed. Not just for San Diego.
Yeah. That's like, that could be the whole theme of this episode.
Yes, because Ginny is feeling it too. Back at the All-Star game, Ginny tells Mike that watching the home run derby doesn't make her feel like less of a fraud for being in the game at all. And Mike tries to reassure her. But she feels like she should have spent the day with her mom instead, since her mom is only going to make Ginny feel guilty about it at dinner tonight. Yeah, like, I did Ginny need to be at the home run derby? I don't know.
No, probably not. But she probably, deep down, she probably did that because she didn't want to spend time with her mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So be honest with yourself, Miss Baker.
Miss Baker, Mr. Sanders. Mike offers to come to dinner, and Ginny accepts. And then she's also invited Amelia. And Mike, that initial, you could see the shock, but then he tries to play it off like, oh, Amelia, never heard of her.
Oh, God.
That was so funny. And we do see Ginny suggest that Mike talk to Amelia about broadcasting. So we see that, you know, Ginny would have approved of this, but I still didn't like that Amelia just set all that up without either of them knowing. But
yeah, she's very, very presumptuous. And mm-hmm. Even though it's bitten her in the butt in the three episodes that we've already seen, but, you know, when she didn't issue that statement about Al's comments, and Ginny snapped at her about that. She's been presumptuous before. It's bitten her in the butt. She still hasn't learned.
Mm-mm.
So It turns out that Janet's invited someone to dinner as well. It's Kevin from Tarboro. She says, when I found out I'd basically be spending the trip alone, I asked him to join me. So, what'd you
She
say?
knows exactly what she's doing. Oh yeah, pack your bags.
Pack your bags. Going on a brand new guilt trip right here.
Round the
So,
world in 80 days.
Jenny asks for a moment with her mother and finds out that Kevin is more than a friend. He and Janet are dating. Jenny wants to know why Janet didn't give her a heads up, and Janet counters by saying Jenny didn't give any heads up about playing in the All-Star game. She had no idea this was happening. She told
I'm
you
not a
as soon as
fan
she knew.
of parents playing those kind of mind games with their kids, even if they're adults. Like she knew exactly what she was doing by inviting someone. Yeah, so I didn't like that.
It wasn't equal. She was throwing that back, the All-Star game back in her face, but that wasn't, it's not the same thing. So,
No.
Mike shows up right then. Another great timing moment. And tries to charm Janet, saying, "Oh, I didn't know you brought your sister to dinner."
Of course he does.
Mike. But Jenny shuts all that down. She says, "Don't worry, she's taken." And in another great moment of timing, Amelia shows up and it automatically becomes super awkward.
This dinner is doomed from the start.
So Kevin and Janet say they met a year ago. Which Ginny just sits over there blinking at. She's not buying any of this, and we'll see why later. Janet asks for an extra ticket to the game, but Ginny only got one for her mom. Mike, not sensing any of the undercurrent of tension going on, just or maybe he does and thought he could
Yeah,
smooth it over.
he's
He
trying.
offers, yeah, he offers a couple of tickets and says it's not every day that your daughter's in the All-Star game. So, and cue the flashback. Janet comes into teenage Ginny's room with a big box. Ginny opens it up to see a pretty pink dress for the dance, and Bill walks by just then. More great timing, and promptly poops on the party, telling her she can't go to the dance. The travel team tryouts are Saturday, and she's not ready. So Janet asks, "Wait, does this mean that she's going to be playing all year round?" And Bill's like, "Yeah, what's the problem?" Bill makes her decide between being a a ball player or being a kid, which is I don't even know exactly how old she is. I don't know if she's like 13 or 14, but she's just sounds like she's just I feel like she's like a really young high school kid. But so that's a terrible choice to for a kid to have to make at that age. Ginny folds up the dress and gently lays it back in the box and picks up her mitt. And Bill just says, "See in the yard," like he expected her to make that choice. And you can just say it, you can see that Janet is disappointed, but she's kind of used to this. She she's probably lost a lot of these battles with Bill in the past. So she tells Jenny that if she changes her mind or if it gets to be too much for her, Janet's always ready to step in if she needs it.
Yeah, that the ending of that scene was really beautiful. And it's just the things that Janet says to Jenny are things you wish people would say to Jenny all the time. She also says, there's nothing you can ever do to make me stop loving you. And, you know, she just acknowledges the pressure that Jenny's under. And I think while it is good that, you know, Janet tells her she's ready to step in if Jenny needs it, you know, Jenny's so young, it's like, could she even recognize that this is too much? You know, yeah. And she's afraid of disappointing her dad or, you know, standing up to her dad. So it is tough. But I also liked to see Jenny's childhood bedroom and to see the Mike Lawson poster, the young MPG on the wall. And the Atlanta Braves, I saw that stuff too. That makes sense, you know, because she's in Carolina. So cool details to see. But yeah, just overall, really beautiful moment directed by the Regina King.
And also what you were saying about whether or not Jenny would be able to recognize when it gets to be too much. She has problems with that now. She still kind of just holds it in and holds it in and holds it in until it just really gets too much. And she kind of, you know, loses it.
Yeah. So I guess they plant that seed there because we see it later on in the show. And another thing that's kind of frustrating is so many people think they know what's best for Jenny and they already know what she's going to do. Like you said, with Amelia not releasing that statement and Bill, you know, several times, but especially like in that scene, he already knew what she was going to say or he acted like that. And when you're a kid, especially, but even when you're a young adult, it's really frustrating to have people treat you like that and just kind of dismiss your own right to make a decision. And so many people, you know, put that on her, and even Janet now just kind of assumes that Jenny somehow sabotaged their weekend. And really the only people who don't look at Jenny that way and just recognize her as a human are, you know, Evelyn and Blit and Mike.
Yeah, which is why she misses them so much.
Yeah.
Evelyn and Blip especially.
Evelyn most of all, I think, sees right into the heart of Jenny and treats her like a person, treats her like a younger sister. So we are then taken to Amsterdam. We're taken all over the place in this episode.
Yeah. It really is a guilt trip.
Our bags are packed. Oscar asks Levon's agent for 15 minutes with his client. He can't match the $8 million signing bonus that the Yankees have offered, but he still wants a chance to talk. And the agent says he'll see what he can do. So once Oscar gets off the elevator, he asks the concierge for the location of the nearest toy store. So it's about to get interesting.
What is he up to?
Oh, boy. Back at dinner, Kevin brings up Jenny's father. Big, huge no-no, even if he's not aware of what Jenny already knows. As the mom's new boyfriend, you don't immediately start talking to the kid about their dead father. I mean, that just...
The first time that you're introduced to him?
Yeah.
Officially?
No. Bad call. So Jenny asks him once, let's talk about her dad. but he persists trying to explain himself. And then Ginny says, can we stop talking about my dead father? And I'm glad that Ginny, you know, she says that she's not in the right frame of mind for company and she excuses herself from the table. I'm glad she left because that was a painful dinner to watch. Then Janet and Kevin leave shortly after, which leaves Mike and Amelia there awkwardly. And so they start talking about Mike's phase two, you know, because his little rehearsal didn't go well. But really, I mean, that's the, you know, that's your first try. It's a rehearsal. I don't think it's enough to start rethinking your entire plan. But Amelia encourages him and they finally leave. And Mike says, do you think they staged all that so we'd have to pay? Mike, we're going to pay anyways, so.
He's really, really, really money conscious all of a sudden after that talk with his lawyer. Saving every penny.
Oh, yeah. So we're back in Amsterdam briefly, and we see that Oscar is frantically making altercations to alterations to a doll that he bought at the toy store. He dramatically flips his tie over his shoulder. He sits on the toilet. He's cutting off the hair. What is going on? But we did see briefly when Rondo was in Oscar's office, we saw a doll's head on his desk next to a baseball that was in a little preservation box. We did see a doll's head there. So it does have some significance. He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And we'll figure out what that is.
So back at the All-Star game, Ginny hugs Blip. She's just come out of her dressing room, and Blip is walking out of the clubhouse. Mike catches up with them both, and they walk out.
Get our iconic shot. Yes.
the All-Star Padres hosting the game. Janet doesn't appear to be in the seats that Mike held for her. And you can see all throughout the game, Ginny is checking up there just to see if they'll be up there to support her. We hear the talking heads build up the drama about the next All-Star at bat. Salvador Perez was the leading vote getter for the All-Star game before Ginny's campaign hit. And so they make it seem like Perez might have a problem or a bone to pick with Ginny about being outshadowed as far as votes.
Meanwhile, Blip's just happy to be here.
I bet people don't even care about that stuff. You know, Salvador might just be happy to be an All-Star and you know, and happy to be in the game, and might not even be thinking about half of the stuff that these petty media members dream up about them to build up drama. But anyways, it makes for good broadcasting, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And Perez hits a home run off of Jenny's pitch. Ginny looks up at the stands, and her mom is still not there. So, at least she didn't see. At least she didn't see that. Unfortunately, Mike did, but and a whole bunch of people on TV. But Janet did not. So we get a flashback. Ginny's at school. And she's seeing and feeling how different she is from the rest of the kids around her. She rides her bike home, probably to tell her mom that she's changed her mind about the dance. But then she sees Janet all hugged up with Kevin in the kitchen.
Okay. And mighty cozy.
Really cozy. Like one step away from smooching.
in the middle of the day.
Yeah. And they're both wearing wedding rings. Mm-hmm. So at this time, Kevin was still married. And of course, so was Janet.
Yeah. And this is about probably at least 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Jenny's so upset she runs out of the house.
Yeah.
Back in Amsterdam, Oscar meets with Levon Duarte. One of the first things he does is he throws the doll's head at Levon, and Levon catches it. Oscar knows that that's what they both used as a ball growing up. Oscar says he can come close, but he can't match the Yankees' offer. But he can give Levon someone who understands his journey, he says, pointing at the doll. Levon is Cuban, Oscar is Mexican, but he says that they had similar journeys getting to Major League Baseball. Oscar says he didn't have a fraction of Levon's talent, but he had somebody looking out for him, you know, Al. And he can have someone looking out for Levon, too, to make sure that he doesn't, you know, piss away his talent or his money. Mm-hmm. Oscar says the Yankees can give you more money, but the Padres can give you a home. And that is Oscar's pitch.
It's a good one. And yeah. It was nice to hear his backstory and more of his relationship with Al. And I liked what he said. It's not just about how rich you can get. It's about who you surround yourself with. And makes me think of my favorite NBA vets, KG and Paul Pierce. Because they take care of their guys.
Aww.
Anyways.
Shout out to the Hall of Famers.
Yes. Yep. That is really important. But it is a hard thing to guarantee because, you know, you look at Al's job has already been on the line this season. And we're about to get some trade drama with Mike, the franchise player. So, you know, you think about how often teams make this sort of pitch. Although I feel Oscar's was definitely more genuine and heartfelt. But you do think about how many times organizations pitch to free agents, you know, you can build a legacy here, you can build a home here, and then they go and trade them. But that's just me. So,
no, all right. It's also me.
Okay. Yeah. So, interesting. But I hope, yeah. You know, if the show had gone on in the future, you know, Mike gets to retire a Padre, Levon gets to be a Padre forever, if he wants to be, and everybody's happy. So after the pitch, where you can assume it went well, because Oscar tries to call Mike and tell him the news, but Mike is on the set of Fox Sports, and so he ignores the call because they're about to go on. And the first topic of the post-game show is about Perez's home run off of Jenny Baker. And they presented it as the story of the night. And it was like one of the opening plays. And I'm just thinking, like, in the real world, would this really be the story of the All-Star game? You know, this is like LeBron James dunking on Draymond Green to start the NBA All-Star game. Like, it's what's supposed to happen. You know, Draymond Green's a great player, but All-Star games are all about offense. People want to see you scoring. So is it really a huge story, or is it just another chance to slander Ginny.
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
Another point is that probably nothing much else happened of note in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. So I could see that being the top story because Ginny's such a popular topic in the sports world.
Yeah. Yeah, she is really popular, and it's just interesting that she's so popular, they could really talk about anything related to Ginny, but they choose to focus on criticism and negativity. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because they're petty.
Yeah, they are. You can especially see male pettiness in sports.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. In the talking heads, sports fans, athletes themselves.
Yep.
Sports Center. Yep.
Sports Twitter.
Sports Snapchat. So Mike, they, you know, kind of put Mike on the spot. What do you have to say about that home run? And Mike starts with stats. Before there's just this long pause, and I'm thinking, are we going to get another Redonkulous here? but instead, he just speaks from the heart about what a total gamer Ginny is and how hard this game is. And Ginny has so much strength, more than Mike himself has. And that shuts all of them up pretty quick. And then they get some breaking news that the Padres have signed LeVon Duarte, and they want to know Mike's reaction, to which he says, that guy's not taking my job. Probably should have taken that call with Oscar really quick.
Yeah, but probably should have.
Not the best reaction.
It's not the kind of thing you want to hear firsthand on the set of a sports show.
Yeah.
And it's not the kind of thing that Oscar could just say in a text.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Bad timing, once again.
Such bad timing.
Ginny, we see Ginny knocking on Janet's hotel door. Before she opens it, there's a flashback where Janet knocks on a teenage Ginny's door and tells her that she can take out her stud earrings and put in some new ones. She got her hoops. But Ginny says she can't wear those because she's going to be playing baseball, and then she just leaves. And it's kind of sad to see Janet really excited to, you know, have this kind of a, you know, special moment in a girl's life, putting on some grown-up earrings, but it's a shame.
And so Ginny just continues to shine her on, like when she's practicing with her father, Janet calls out to her, and Ginny totally ignores her. So you can see that that's the beginning of Ginny kind of freezing Janet out of her life.
So it is
really sad.
It's difficult for Ginny because she saw something really upsetting, you know, and at that age, seeing something like that could probably be a little traumatizing, you know, because you have this idea of your parents. And so she probably felt really betrayed. And so this thing happening with her parents where she has to choose to spend time with her mom or choose to train with her dad, you know, it's just, it's an even bigger deal now because she knows this secret of her mom's. So we're taken back to the present, and Ginny asks Janet why she didn't show up for the All-Star game. And Janet says that she took Kevin to the airport instead because he didn't feel comfortable and she didn't feel welcome. Oh my God. I don't care what you feel. This is your kid, and Elliot can take him to the airport.
Yeah,
like, come on, you're not going to go to the whole game. I don't like parents playing mind games with their kids.
Yeah, Janet, yeah. They were both in the wrong, and
Yeah.
but yeah, that was really messed up.
And Jenny says, I can't believe you're making this all about you again. And Janet says it's never been about her, not since Jenny was 12. And Janet talks about how Bill and her, she lost him long before he died because he really just poured all of his energy and focus into Jenny's career. But then when Jenny was 12, she lost Jenny. And that was the most painful thing that had happened to her. And she asked Jenny, "Why'd you shut me out? I never made you choose." And Jenny says that she was young and she didn't realize how hard it was for her mom. And she's echoing what Janet told her. "You're young and I realize how hard this is for you." I'm curious as to why Jenny didn't tell her that she saw Janet and Kevin together. Maybe she just, really wants things to be okay with her mom. But I mean, I think, that deserves some sort of confrontation if Janet's gonna try and pretend that she's only known Kevin for a year instead of 10.
I was wondering that too, but I figure maybe she just didn't want to argue. Because if she came out with that, "I saw you 10 years ago, all hugged up in the kitchen with Kevin, with both of your wedding rings on and shining, and what's up with that?" That's going to be an argument. So yeah, maybe she's like, it doesn't matter anymore now anyway. Bill's gone and Kevin's divorced and y'all are together. It's none of my business.
Got too much going on her own. But they do decide that they'll get breakfast together before Janet's flight. So hopefully it's the start of mending their relationship.
And I don't think we get to see Janet anymore this season. So we see other members of Jenny's family later on, but yeah, I think that's it for Janet. So bye, Janet. Get yourself
Bye.
together. Leave all the baggage at home next time. Please and thanks. So back in Orlando, Blip finds Evelyn in bed at the hotel room. She's asleep, so he must have gotten in on a late flight. He nestles into bed beside her and says that the biggest moment of his life was June 6th, 2007. Good on you for remembering the date, Blip. This is when you're begging hardcore. You remember dates and shit.
Yeah, you gotta dig deep.
He was buying a bacon burger. Good choice. Now I'm hungry. From a sassy freshman at USC. And Evelyn smiles and says, "Yes, that was my biggest moment too." And then she asks all about the All-Star game. She says, "Tell me everything." And she sounds really excited and she's so super cute. And
They're perfect.
yes, Blip still needs a smack on the hand with a ruler for that earlier comment, but this is sweet.
Yeah, it was.
Mike's at home watching sports news talk about LeVon. So he mutes the TV and calls Jenny. And Mike,
Not Amelia.
Yes. Smart man. Smart man. Mike makes a lot of jokes about the home run. So, you know, at least if Janet was there, she wouldn't have made all those jokes about Jenny. but Mike was there and he's joking. It's joke time. Mike asks about her mom, and Jenny says, it's good. It's all good. Jenny asks about LaVon and the whole catching position situation, and he says it's all good. So they're both not talking about their problems, but they're just having cute banter on the phone and avoiding their issues.
Yeah.
And you can just tell that this is the beginning of a long conversation. Because Mike is not going to run out of jokes.
No.
He's like, Oh, wait. Are you still there, Jenny? Or was that just that home run bouncing off my satellite provider? He's gonna be joking on that home run all night. So, and that's how they end the episode. Just with them laughing and talking on the phone. So, Boston forever.
Yeah.
That was the break. And hopefully next time. I feel like we're just gonna keep saying this until we get it. Next time, have naked photo shoot, please.
An iconic moment in television history.
It was. It truly was. That should have gotten them renewed. Just for that alone, but alas.
If that didn't, I mean, what would have worked?
I shudder to think.
Because they gave us everything. I'm glad though, because now now LaVon's part of it. Because if this happened before LaVon was part of the team, right? Or is he part of it? I guess we'll find out.
We will find out. but yeah. Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention, LaVon's a hottie.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some dimples too. He is.
Yes, he does.
So,
and he and
Jimmy dimples on his face. We haven't
started
dimples anywhere else.
That's why we need a season two. We need to find out.
Yes.
In season two, LaVon and Jenny do the ESPN body issue, and they have a few shots together, and Mike is jealous. And
oh my god, that is
a season fanfic. Two plot for you,
or a fanfic, write it up.
Yes, that's more probably more fanfic.
so that is it for episode 4 of Get Her in the Game. You can reach us. I'm at Dust Daughter. Olivia is at Sportifica. You can email us at blackgirlsqueeze@gmail.com or donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. So until next time, bye.
Bye.